I do want to thank our brother Stephen very much for the words of welcome. Let me thank Reverend Irwin for arranging tonight's deputation service and for giving me the opportunity to come and to speak. I trust that it will be a blessing to each and to everyone who listens. And as you tune in, that the Lord will really stir up your own heart and speak to your own soul. This is the first time I've ever done a deputation virtually, using the PowerPoint. So it is taking a little bit of a different nature, should I say. The reason being, of course, is because the ministry and the work that I am involved in is very much confidential and matters, etc., not in the public domain. So when it comes to bringing the meeting to a close afterwards, we're going to have a Zoom time, those in the church here, and then I'll be able to mention some people specifically and ask you to pray for them. So it will be a little bit different, the presentation, but nevertheless, trust it will be an encouragement, it will be a blessing. Just want to start off by thanking you so much here in the church for your prayers and your support over the years, and even over the past year in particular, and trust that the Lord will bless you richly in return. We're going to turn in our Bibles just for a very brief reading. I'm going to leave some thoughts with you. It's not going to be a sermon, just some thoughts from Isaiah and the chapter 6. And here we're reading about the prophet, the servant of the Lord, and the vision that God gave to him. We read here in Isaiah and the chapter 6, the words of verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And oh, that God would grant to us such an experience tonight, that we would see the King, King Jesus. Verse 6, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. We'll end our reading there at the verse 9, and we trust, pray that God will bless his word to our hearts. Let's just bow very briefly and momentarily in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight in the reading of thy word, and we pray that you'll speak on to each and every one of our hearts. Grant that we will hear thy voice this evening. We pray for each one listening that you'll come and stir us up afresh. And grant that we will have Isaiah's experience and encounter, that we would see the Lord. Oh God, come, work in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here we have the glorious vision that the Lord gave to Isaiah. It, of course, occurred in the year that King Uzziah died. You read here in the verse 1, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Now, King Uzziah, his reign began with great hope, great promise, great prospect. And for that season, whilst he was honoring the Lord and putting the Lord first, we find that his fame spread abroad throughout all the world. Then, of course, we haven't time to go into the story, but we find there that he basically usurped the office of the priest, something that he was not permitted to do. He was the king. And there he went into the temple, and he was smitten with leprosy, and he died after that. And we find here that this vision that Isaiah had came at a time, we might say, of national distress, a time of great disappointment, In a time of tremendous change, it seemed as if now things were, rather than being on the increase and going upwards, that they were declining and things were getting much worse. It was at that very moment that Isaiah saw the Lord. Can I say to you as God's child that each one of us, that we need to see the Lord. We need a vision of Christ. And that is exactly what Isaiah had here. And how different things then became. You see, Isaiah looked upward and he saw the Lord, the holy God of heaven. He looked inward, we read about it, he saw himself and his sin and his iniquity. But alas, he was purged and that sin cleansed. And then we find that he looked out and he saw the lost. You see, you and I need to have a vision for the harvest fields of this world. But can I say that the greatest vision that you and I need and must have is a vision of Christ. Because as we behold the Lord in his glory, and as we see our Savior, we will look at the world differently. For we will look at the world through the eyes of our Savior. I want you to note here just very briefly, Isaiah was a vessel willing to serve the Lord. Here in the verse 8, when the Lord posed a question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah responded in the affirmative. Then said I, here am I, send me. He was a vessel. He desired that the Lord would take him and send him, that the Lord would fill him. He was surrendered, you see, to the will of God. He desired God's will for his life and for the Lord to send him forth. He was also sanctified to the work of God, for he was set apart. He had that cleansing touch. And of course, the Lord can only and will only use vessels that are clean for his service. But he was submissive to the ways of God. You see, he was going to a people who were not going to listen. Basically, the Lord was saying to Isaiah, Isaiah, I want you to go, and I'm going to send you. But the people you're going to go to, they're not going to respond. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to heed your calls and your pleas. But know this, that in my perfect time, there will be a tenth. You see, God always has a people. God is at work. And God has a plan and sovereign purpose. He was a vessel willing to serve the Lord. He had a vision of the need to serve the Lord. You see, he looked out past his own needs. And he saw the needs of others. What was the need of the people? Can I say it's the same need that men and women have today? It is to hear about God's forgiveness and cleansing. Isaiah desired to go out with the experience, the encounter that he had, and to declare what he had experienced. And we find that Isaiah was one who had a vision. We need a vision of the Lord, a vision of Christ, child of God. There is nothing that will motivate you and I like a vision of our Savior. To think of his love, his mercy, his grace, to behold him, that will in turn give us a vision of the souls of men. Can I say just briefly in closing, Isaiah knew that there was vitality required to serve the Lord. You see, he was a vessel willing. He had a vision of what needed to be done. But he realized the vitality needed. He needed the Lord's power. Notice what he said. He said, then said I, here am I, send me. And in those words, he is basically saying, Lord, you thrust me forth. You empower me. You equip me for the task. We need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's mercy. We need his grace. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And can I say that we need the Lord to empower us not only to serve him and to minister to others, but you and I need the cleansing of the blood, the infilling of the Spirit, the power of God to live the Christian life, to be that faithful witness to our friends, to our family, aye, to a lost and to a fallen world. I trust indeed that the Lord will give to us that heart's desire. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And we're willing for God's will in our lives. Once again, I do want to thank you sincerely for the opportunity to come and to give the deputation report and to speak about the work that the Lord has called us to. As most of you know, myself and my wife, who now assists me and helps me in the ministry, work under our church mission board, and we're thankful to our board and all the support that we do receive from them and through them, and they've been a great encouragement and help to us. Just to mention that last year, for instance, the Lord's people and their kindness and in the help of the mission board enabled us to purchase a new vehicle to keep us on the road, and I travel a lot of miles. It's wonderful just to be able to have the vehicle updated, and we're thankful to the Lord just for those acts of kindness and the support that we have. Of course, reaching out to men and women who are in great need. And as we think of the ministry, it is a ministry reaching out to the addicted. Now, that will involve really seeking to reach men and women and young people whose lives are enslaved and held captive by the power of the devil, and those people who have become entangled, especially in certain vices and sins, certain addictions. The majority of people that we tend to minister to and work with have chronic, stubborn drug addictions. A lot of the times we're dealing with people who have been years in addiction. They've come to a point where they've perhaps tried various other means and different programs, and they're still in addiction, and they're crying out for help, and they're looking for help. And we seek to minister to them. And it's a ministry, as I said, that the Lord has called us to. And you're reminded of that calling. I'm reminded many times whenever I consider what God has done in my own heart and life and His grace and His mercy. It just encourages me so much to go on and to keep persevering. I must confess that I point blank refuse to give up on anybody. I just feel that I was so deep down in my own sin and my own life was ruined and destroyed that, you know, the Lord really just intervened and stepped in. And I know from experience, therefore, that what the Lord has done in my life, He is able. He is able and willing to do in the lives of so many others. It is a day of opportunity. And despite all the restrictions placed upon us and what has been taking place, it's there are many opportunities to serve the Lord. We ought to, in a sense, learn to adapt and to seek to get the word out there and to reach out to people. And certainly the problems with addiction, if anything, have not declined but have escalated. More and more people becoming involved with, especially with the likes of alcohol. Those people who perhaps maybe would have been an occasional drinker, weekend drinker, now maybe due to being at home more often or furlough, whatever it may be, and they're finding that in order to deal with stress and things like that there, they're drinking more and they're perhaps becoming more and more entangled. And no doubt there'll be times ahead when we'll certainly face that. There'll be like a wave of so many people just coming out as in the sense of having chronic alcohol addictions and problems. And certainly the drug problem has escalated, it's grown. In order to oftentimes deal with depression, to deal with anxiety, to deal with whatever it may be, the addict will resort back to the old coping mechanisms, back to the drink and back to the drugs and back to those things, trying to get relief and trying to, in a sense, to deal with it. But of course, that only makes matters worse and compounds things. For me, days change, not just in the sense of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but my schedules can change. What I've got planned out, for instance, for tomorrow and for the next few days, I've set aside the days to do some specific work, but I could well, like for instance this morning, I got a phone call from someone who was in desperate need. Actually, it wasn't a phone call, it was a text message. Someone very suicidal, and throughout the day I've been able to just to in some way make contact and just give some advice, etc. But, you know, things can change where someone's looking help. They're not looking help when you're in addiction. You're not looking help, as it were, next week, next month, next year. Oftentimes it's a crisis point that brings you to that place where you want to deal with it and you want help now. And it's good and on those occasions just to try to help people as quickly and promptly as can be. This afternoon, I received a call from a lad. Later on, as I mentioned, I will be giving you some names, some people to pray for, like this lad that I'm going to just mention now, but in the Zoom time, we'll be praying specifically for those individuals. I wouldn't want to publicly embarrass anyone, for instance, but he contacted me this afternoon. He's a fellow I've worked with for quite a while. And despite all of his best efforts and all of his promises to change and desire to change, it seems as if he just continues to spiral back into chronic addiction, and it goes from one drug to another drug, and then it ends up with, for instance, the drug of his choice, which would be heroin. And just life is so chaotic and so much of a mess. And you seek to reach out to people like that to bring them the message of hope and real change. Praise God, we have the answer. We have the remedy. And therefore, it's so vital and important to get that message out. And it's also a time of ministering not only to individuals, to those in addiction, but also to family members, because oftentimes they're left carrying the weight of the problem. It may be a financial burden in the home and drug debts and all sorts of things that can mount up, and all sorts of issues and problems and child welfare, etc. And so the family, oftentimes they need some support. They need to talk to someone, just a listening ear. And of course, it's good to be able to encourage them from the Word of God as well, and to be able to point them back to Scripture. Isn't it vital and important to seek to reach out to young people as well? And we've sought to do that. Now, of course, the schools ministry, in the sense of physically, is not on at the minute. Look forward to that day when we do get back to going into the classroom. But you could pray for all of our children's workers in our denomination. And I do say this in my deputation meetings, and there's a reason for it. We are a missionary family, a missionary team. I'd like to think of it that way. We all do. And you could pray for the children's workers and neighbours, because it is my desire and prayer that the young people they work with, children and the youth, that they'll never come to the stage of being involved in the drugs and going down that road of addiction. And they'll not, in a sense, end up on my visitation program and on my visitation list. So you could pray for our sister Joyce Walsh, our brother Robert McConnell. Then we think of Christina Logan and, of course, young Jonathan Smith working there with the young people. We pray for those missionaries that the Lord will help them, encourage and bless them. We also think of the Maxwells, our brother Colin and his wife at this time, and then Noel Shields. And just pray for us as the Lord would, that the Lord would give us grace and give us help. Prevention, it said, is better than cure. And a young life that has been saved, a young soul saved, is a life spared from the misery and the pain of addiction. And you just pray that the Lord will bless all of our children's workers. So when you think about me and the ministry, and that the Lord lays me on your heart, and us as a family, to pray, I want you to associate us with our other missionaries and pray for them too, that the Lord would just bless them in their labours with the young ones. Drugs, as I said, are very much on the increase, in particular over the past number of years. Here in our own province, there has been a huge escalation in the abuse of prescription medication. And we'll also include their OTCs, over-the-counter drugs, as well. But we think of prescribed medication. Now, I'm not going to start naming different types of medication, for no doubt somebody watching will say, well, I take that particular medication, does that mean I've got a drug problem? No, we're talking about someone who is abusing that medication. They're not taking it the way they should be, or perhaps they're taking medication that's not being prescribed, and whatever it may be. And there's a reason for that. And so there's been a huge issue and problem with prescription abuse. We're looking to the Lord just to step into people's hearts and into lives. To put it in perspective, I remember a lad, and there was a day I was out with him, and he actually had taken quite a lot of medication. And I'm just going to mention a couple of meds here. He had taken 110 milligrams of diazepam, which equates to 1,000 milligrams of diazepam. Okay, it wasn't the in the sense the proper prescribed stuff, so it might not have been as strong, or might have even been stronger. But he'd taken 100 tablets, plus 14, what we call nickname buds, Lyrica, and that should have been fatal. Thankfully, myself and another lad were quite near a hospital. We got him to the hospital. He went into resus and was spared that night. Sadly, sometime later, he ended up dying of an overdose. And oftentimes, you find that lads are going from one substance to another. We'll look at that just a little bit later on. They're very much on the increase. Can I ask you please to pray for the families of those who have been affected? Last year was a very difficult year for us all of us. I think especially of families plunged into immense sorrow. The men's home in Dublin, sadly there was quite a number of deaths associated with men who have been through the program. You know, you become very close to them, get to know them over many years. You share with them in their hopes, their dreams, their futures, and also their sorrows and their difficult times. I'd ask you please to pray for the families. I'm not going to mention the families tonight, but you please just pray that the Lord will grant comfort, and grant grace and help at this particular time. We have to reach out and seek to win people and to bring them that message. We have an answer, the answer. And John chapter 8 is a favorite portion of mine, especially verses 32 and then the verse 36. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the Son therefore shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. And it's the truth. What is that truth? It's the truth of who Jesus Christ is, what he has done, what he has accomplished, who he is, his power, his grace, his mercy, his ability. And we trust indeed that the Lord will bless as we seek to reach out to so many individuals. Last year, at the start of the year in particular, before the lockdown came, we were involved very much in the community outreach. It's good to go out into the community and to speak. So I'll just mention that just very briefly here, but we had the opportunity to go to the likes of Ralph Ryland, and I love going on doors, speaking to people. Long for that day to return when we get back to evangelizing on the doorstep and speaking to people and just taking that message of hope and real change out to them. What is a functioning addict? Sadly, there are many people who are what we would term as being functioning addicts. In other words, they're able to keep going as much as they can, as possible. And oftentimes, their family are unaware of what's really brewing and going on underneath, behind all the outward appearance and facade. They can go to work, they can come home. Then patterns begin to change a bit, and they can function for a while. And especially here in our province, we have huge problems with the likes of cocaine, and there are many people who are able to function. They go to work, they take their drugs. But underneath it all, it's beginning to unravel and to come to a head. And oftentimes they function, but only for a certain period of time. It has its consequences, comes to an end. Then we have what are called polydrug users. I mentioned one lad there. He was taking a few different prescription drugs. Well, let me just give you an illustration just to highlight some of the people that we work with and how difficult and challenging it is to reach out and to help them. Oftentimes, in fact, most of the time, the people that we work with are what we call polydrug users. So they use multiple substances. A while back, I was carrying out an assessment for the New Hope Centre, which I'm going to be speaking about shortly down in Dublin, filling in basically the application form and going through some various questions and looking at the criteria, etc. So this lad, when I was speaking to him on the phone, he said, well, I said to him, what is really your issue? What's your problem? What are you addicted to? Alcohol. Is that it? Yes. Are you sure now? Do you bother with any other? Oh, no, I don't bother with drugs at all. Are you sure about that? Absolutely certain. Okay, so I'll come and speak to you. So I went, able to socially distance, met the lad. We began to go through the form. Came to the section about drug use. So, cannabis, do you use cannabis at all? I suppose you don't. After all, it's just alcohol. Oh, well,
I could take the odd joint or two, maybe £50 a week just. I'll tell you what, I'll write that down anyway. If it's only £50, I'll write it down. And then, as we're going through the form, what about benzos, benzodiazepines? I suppose you don't really bother with AM tablets, diazepam and stuff. Not really. Just a few. How many's a few to you? Just 200 a fortnight? Oh, 200. All right, okay, I'll write that down as well. Are you getting the picture? See, they don't realize just the mess that they're in. They don't realize the web that they're in. They don't really grasp just how deep and dire things really are. Went on down the form. Opiate use, heroin. You ever bother with heroin? Not really. I said, well, what's not really? Well, I overdosed on it 2 weeks ago. I had to be brought back to life. Right. I think that might be an issue as well. So put that there down. And there we went through the list. And at the end of it, he looked at me and I said, yeah, you have got a serious problem. And that's very, now believe it or not, that is very typical of a lot of the folk that we work with. Chronic drug use. But you know, it didn't start there. Where did it start? Well, during our meetings, we like to highlight the stages of drug use and just talk about how someone actually comes to the point of becoming addicted and ending up in addiction. And of course, presenting the remedy and how they can be free from it. Experimental, it all begins, doesn't it? It's just a cigarette. It's only a smoke of cannabis. It's only a glass of beer. Now, I'm not saying if somebody smokes or drinks, they're going to end up taking heroin, but people do not start with drugs like heroin, etc., as first-time drugs. They experiment with other substances. And then the experimentation, oftentimes for young people, tends to become more recreational. In other words, they're using it maybe every weekend or every other weekend. Then they're becoming to use it more and more frequently, and the use continues to grow, and then it becomes a problem. A problem that's now affecting their health, their job, their family, their relationships. It's starting to affect just about every part of their life. And now they're oftentimes at this place, they're still in denial that they actually have a problem. Of course, then they are at the stage of dependency. Nobody intends to become an addict. And it doesn't happen overnight. And there are recognized stages. But here they end up, and they're now in addiction. And how are they going to get free from it? They're in dependency. Whether that's a physical, psychological dependence, or both. And it's important to be able to reach out to people and to bring them the message of hope and real change. These were just a couple of meetings that we've done over the past number of years. We were in Portadown Town Hall and we've done a great campaign there in Portadown and the help of the folk there in the church. And I know up here up in Coleraine we had some meetings as well, and it's always a blessing to be able to go out, because you know what? You may give out an invite, you could give a card out, and it could be a year or even 2 years later and the phone call will come through. Are you that fella from the meeting? Can you come and speak to my son or daughter or whatever it may be? And the contact is made. And we want to get the message out there. And then some of us, we were in Corridor. That was really just before the lockdown. Rory from on the right there from the men's home, and then Matthew in the middle and myself. And what a blessing to be able to go out and to present the answer to addiction and to reach out to very needy men and women. Of late, I think we've conducted around about 35, maybe plus, meetings of the last few years going out into the community. And that's a wonderful privilege. And, you know, it's good to be busy for the Lord. People need hope. Now, I don't know who all is listening into this meeting tonight, but if you're listening to this service tonight and you're in addiction, you just stumbled across the page or whatever, there is hope. Real change. And it's a wonderful privilege and an honor to be able to go forth and to take that message of hope and declare that message of hope. Real change, real hope is possible. And it's real. We're so thankful for all the support from our churches and the folk here, in particular in Coleraine. Thank you so much for supporting us, helping us, laboring with us. We're just a, I look at it as in a very, in a, just a very, we play a very small part in the work of the Lord. But it's a wonderful privilege just to have that little part, to be able to do something for the Master. When we think about hope, then, of course, there's the New Hope Program, the residential centre down in Dublin, a one-year residential program that we're very much associated with and have the privilege of, you know, taking men to and working with the home there. And you could pray for the men in particular at this time. And the ladies as well who are associated with the home, and pray that the Lord will just bless them. There, just recently, there has been an outbreak of COVID, and I think just about everyone in the home has COVID-19, and you could pray for the men, please. Pray that the Lord will just give them the strength and the grace from day to day. Now, they may well be tuning in tonight and listening in, and if they are, I want you to know, men, that we are praying for you very much. You're very much in our thoughts. When I go to bed at night, you're the last thing in my mind, first thing in the morning, and want you to know that we are praying for you very much. Remember Leighton, please, in your prayers. Leighton Kelly, who runs that program, who's the director. Leighton, thankfully, hasn't contracted COVID. I'm not going to use the word yet, because when everyone else has it, you think, well, it's been amazing that he hasn't. Pray for Leighton and for his family. The Lord's hand will be upon them. Protect him, keep him safe. Kirsten there as well, and the others who help out. The Lord will just continue to work in that residential home. Now, a men's setting, a residential program for someone going into a residential setting and, you know, giving up a year of their life, it's a big challenge. I want to say it's a tough program. It's not easy. But then when you have the likes of the amount of sickness in the home, that only compounds the matter. And some of the men, no doubt, have really been going through the mill lately. And it's been a difficult for them. And so you please pray that the Lord will just undertake for them. Now, we do have two lads from Northern Ireland who are in the home. I'm going to say they're lovely lads, but they really are. And that's not just because they might be listening, but they are two really nice lads. And so delighted with how they've been doing. I'm praying that God will work in their hearts and lives and bless them. And they've given me permission to use their photos tonight. And I'm not going to go into their stories and their backgrounds and talk about their old drug addicts. I'm not going to do that. Brendan here is from Belfast. And it's been a real joy to get to know Brendan in some way. And, of course, due to the restrictions, not able to travel down the same and spend the time with the men, but we still pray for them, can talk to them on the phone. He does have some breathing difficulties when it comes to the virus, so you could pray. He did have to go to hospital one day. Pray that the Lord will just be pleased to just touch him and to raise him up. And then Kyle as well, that the Lord's hand will be in him. And once again, I say it's been such a joy getting to know these men, spending time talking to their families from time to time, etc. And this is a picture of them both yesterday, looking really well. And, you know, it's just been an answer to prayer. And I want you to be encouraged as the Lord's people for praying for the men in the home and for supporting the work. Because here you're seeing the Lord working in hearts and lives and what he's been doing, and we're just so thankful for that. And we trust indeed that the Lord will continue to bless all of the men in the home, keep his hand on them, and that the Lord will just keep them all safe and meet the needs of the home at this particular time. Now, just before, in the lead-up to Christmas, we had a shoebox appeal. Now, I want to make it very clear. The appeal that we put out was really organized, and it was run by our brother, Mr. Philip Harton from Portadown. And Philip is a long-term friend of mine. We've been friends for, I would say 30 years. And for a long time anyway. And Philip has been a real blessing. And he came up with an idea of being able to help out in some way. So the appeal was put out. Philip and his helpers, all the workers, and Shannon Ross in particular, they made a great effort getting the need out there and got shoeboxes made up. Various gifts and toys put in them, and then those gifts, those shoeboxes, were then distributed to needy families. Now, it's good to think about others. In fact, the Bible reminds us of the very fact that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And inside the boxes as well, there were pieces of gospel literature, and there were Bible verse coloring book in books and things they got there as well. There were nearly 500 boxes that were produced, and thank you to the people who have supported in the project. And I know that they have been a blessing. I've talked to families, even just recently. I've been contacted by people saying, we just still can't get over your kindness and the kindness of the people thinking about us. And that's been wonderful, and what a great blessing that is. But of course, our primary goal in all things is that the Lord would be glorified. And we were able to get the boxes all made up, and there they were at the Martyrs' Church, and Philip and myself then were able to take them down to Dublin. And it was a blessing just to be able to take them to the right localities, right place. The lighthouse is down in the city centre. The lighthouse works in feeding a lot of homeless people, and they do a great work there with that. And then, of course, giving out the boxes as well. We went to New Hope, and Leighton very kindly arranged for a lot of the boxes to be distributed to those very needy people in Dublin, the Dublin area, and even across the Republic. So that was a real blessing. And you can see the men here. This thrills my heart just to see that there picture. You know, why? Because when you're in addiction, oftentimes you have nothing to look forward to. And, you know, your life is just been quite frank, it's miserable. It really is. And you're broken. And you want to change, but you can't change. And just to see those men thinking about the children who'll receive those boxes, and it's just a blessing. It really is. And we trust indeed that the Lord will bless them. There's Aidan in the picture as well, one of the senior staff members who's actually down in the home at the minute, and he's looking after the men in the program. And we headed on over, Philip and myself, with some boxes over to Limerick City to pasture over there. And, you know, earlier that day we came across this here picture. Philip and myself were talking about it. What are you thankful for today? What are you thankful for? What am I thankful for? There is so much that we ought to be thankful for. So much. But, you know, oftentimes we do the wrong thing. We focus on the negative. And we focus on the difficulties, and we focus on the problems, and we focus on all that would bring us down. Instead of focusing on Him, on Christ, on the Lord. Instead of focusing on what we really ought to focus on and be thankful, so thankful. Have you thanked the Lord today? Have you thanked Him for His grace and His mercy? Thanked Him for the very food on your table? Thank Him for the clothes on your back. You know, there's so much to thank the Lord for. Of course, the most important thing is we thank Him for the gift of His Son. I'm just going to move on in the presentation here because time is quickly marching on. But, you know, there are various aspects to the work. And over the next few days in particular, I've really knuckled down now with regards to there's some booklets that we're working on through the Youth Council. And I'll be spending a lot of time in the study, working on those materials, just really getting them polished off and getting ready for print, etc. You could pray that the Lord will just undertake and give us the wisdom that we need. But a couple of years back, we had opportunity to start a ministry in conjunction with the men's home in Dublin with New Hope. Some of the staff members have got out into the city centre and reaching out to the homeless. Came about through a young girl who was basically from here, who was down in Dublin. She became homeless, and one night some of us went out, Leighton, myself, and you know, Rory and Matthew, and you know, it's heartbreaking when you see young people in particular, some of them not more than children, out in the streets. You know, the world's approach, some in the world might say, oh, well, sure, they made their bed, let them lie in it. You've got to help yourself. You got yourself into the mess, you get yourself out of the mess. I would sincerely hope that no Christian would think like that. I'm glad that the Lord didn't look at me and say, look at the mess you're in. Now get yourself out of it. I'm glad that He loved me when I did not love Him.
And we are to show forth the love of Christ to a lost and fallen world. Why do we care? Because the Lord cares. Because every soul is precious. Every life matters. Every single one. I can think of various occasions and times when we were down. The pictures are, in that sense, are coming to my mind. The faces. Those that we've gotten to know over the years. Heartbreaking stories. But very real. Wasn't meant to be that way. Never meant to end up in that place. Somebody's son or daughter, brother or sister, mother or father. It could be ours. It could be you or me. Pray that the Lord will bless those who are homeless. Now, due to the COVID regulations, we haven't been able to recommence that ministry. I look forward to the day, I really, really do, to going out into the streets and lanes, Dublin once again, reaching out. Chronic homeless problem. Of course, a lot of times related to drug addiction and drug problems. And homelessness perhaps brought about or certainly affected through addiction, whatever that addiction may be. And you could pray that the Lord will just make it possible even soon for us to go out. Go around the streets, the lanes, to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a lot of badges that were done up, labels, and you see the label here, and basically it talks, gives people hope that they can lose, for instance, a business card or a piece of paper. So we were giving out the fleece jackets, and you know, I'm so thankful to the Lord's people and men in particular and families who actually bought the fleeces, gave us the fleeces. Really humbled, and I mean that sincerely. And they've done that because they love people. And we got the labels done up, sewn into the fleeces, stuck on, and then they're able to, at least at any time, to open the fleece, and then they've got contact details. And we'll say to them, listen, ring, make a call. And even yet, there'll be, no doubt, fleeces out there, and there'll be literature out there. We're praying that the Lord will work in hearts and work in lives. As a family, we are indebted to you for your faithfulness. As a husband and wife, we are so blessed by the God whom we love and serve. Thank you from the very, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting us in every form and fashion, for praying for us, for supporting us in many ways. We are humbled, sincerely humbled, to think that the Holy God of heaven, the Creator of all, would desire for us to serve Him, to play that little part in His harvest field. May the Lord bless the presentation, stir us up, challenge us. May we make a difference in the lives of others. Making a difference, one life at a time. Making a difference. Christ is that difference. Thank you so much for listening in. And I trust now for the folk here in the church as we come to pray that the Lord will really come and pour out of His Spirit and encourage our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm just going to bow very briefly in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to speak on tonight. We realize, Lord, that so often, Lord, to our shame, we become so inward looking. In a sense, we fail to see past our own street, our own community. We fail to behold the great need of the vast multitudes in this world. Father, I pray, stir up our hearts. Oh God, please come and work on our lives. Give to us that
love for the souls of men, primarily and from a heart that is in love with Christ. Hear and answer prayer. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.